Please take your Bibles this morning and open them to Luke chapter 14. I'm going to continue my exposition of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 14, if you would please stand. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 of Luke 14. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" Excuse me. And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told them a parable to those who were invited. When he noticed how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down at the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man.' And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Then he also said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. You may be seated. We come in our study of Luke's Gospel to a new chapter, but to a reoccurring controversy. The controversy centers on the fourth commandment and what may or may not be done on that day, the Sabbath day. The Pharisees strictly regulated what one could and could not do on the Sabbath day. They rightly understood the importance of it, but they had become legalistic in their observance of it. In order to keep themselves and others from breaking the fourth commandment, they developed a long list of things which were lawful or not lawful to do on that one day in seven. They buried the fourth commandment under a pile of rules and regulations. In the several run-ins Jesus had with the Pharisees on what was appropriate and inappropriate behavior on the Sabbath, Jesus attempts to correct their wrong understanding of the fourth commandment. And that's important for us to know and understand. But the thing that Jesus does not do, ever, is minimize its importance. Nor does he ever set the fourth commandment aside as no longer binding. Our text begins this morning, "Now it happened." That phrase indicates an unspecified time during the Lord's final journey to Jerusalem. The exact location where this incident takes place is not certain, although many commentators think that it probably took place in Perea. On this occasion, Jesus went into the home of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath. It was typical for pious Jews to sit down to the biggest and best meal of the week after worshiping in the synagogue on the Sabbath. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up in Iowa, my family did not attend worship, but nevertheless, Sunday afternoon was always the biggest and best meal of the week. It was the one that Mom spent her most time preparing for us, and we always enjoyed, as a family, sitting down to the table and enjoying what she had prepared. The Jewish people in the Lord's day, especially the Pharisees and the scribes, enjoyed, after synagogue worship, to gather together at one of the Pharisees' homes to eat a meal together. That is something that was typical for them to do. Now, on this occasion, one of the rulers of the Pharisees, perhaps referring to the ruler of the local synagogue, invited Jesus to come to his house to enjoy that meal with him and his guest. Now, that is something that Jesus also typically did. If Jesus got invited to someone's house, Jesus went. He accepted the invitation. In a previous chapter, we read, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. That's in chapter 11, verse 37. Jesus, it seems, was willing to eat with anybody, even the Pharisees. And I say that he was willing to eat with anybody, even the Pharisees, because it was typical of the Pharisees to try to trap Jesus, to catch him in something that he might say so that they might accuse him. And oftentimes, these meals took place on the Sabbath day. So Jesus was at the home of a Pharisee. There were other Pharisees and scribes that were undoubtedly there. Jesus had been invited to eat with them. Now, while they enjoyed each other's company, and they oftentimes invited the one who the ruler of the synagogue had invited to teach, they oftentimes invited that one to come as well. Because in their eyes, that person was a dignitary. And they would like to hear what more that person had to say about the verses that they read and preached on. But the Pharisees were not those inclined to invite tax collectors and sinners. And that seemed to be a bone of contention with them in relationship to Jesus, because Jesus oftentimes associated with the outcasts of Jewish society. Later on in Luke's Gospel, we read that all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him, that is, speaking of Jesus, to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." That's Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. To have a meal with such people was beneath them, something they would not do. And so one of the things that they did on this occasion was not typical of what they normally did. Because under no circumstances, normally speaking, would they invite someone like the man that was present in the home of the ruler of the synagogue on this occasion. That man is a man who had dropsy. Dropsy is edema. It is a condition in which the body retains fluid and causes swelling of the heart, of the lungs, of the kidneys, and other organs in the body. And it is very problematic. And in the thinking of that day, a person who had such a condition as this was considered to be immoral and unclean. Immoral because it was the immoral people that suffered such things in life. Unclean because this person was not to eliminate, it was not able to eliminate waste, which made him unclean. And so that kind of person would not normally have been invited into the home of a Pharisee at any time, let alone on the Sabbath day. But here now in the Pharisee's home is this man. And as Jesus enters into the house, we read they watched him closely. And the phrase "watched him closely" translates a form of a Greek verb which means to observe carefully, to be on the lookout, or to pay heed to. But in the Gospels, the word takes on a sinister tone. It could be translated to lurk, to spy, to watch for an opportunity with malice intent. Jesus was invited because they were setting him up. That's the reason the man was there. He just didn't wander in off the street because he knew Jesus was there. He didn't barge into the Pharisee's home in order to beg for something to eat. No, he was invited into the Pharisee's house in order that they might set Jesus up. And they were watching closely for Jesus to do what they knew he would. What did they know Jesus would do? Well, they knew that Jesus would look upon that man with dropsy and have compassion on him, and in that compassion, what would he do? He would heal him. And in their eyes, when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, they were breaking their rules and regulations regarding Sabbath keeping. Now, please understand, in relationship to healing on the Sabbath, that the fourth commandment does not prevent that from taking place. But in the eyes of the Pharisees and the scribes, to heal on the Sabbath, unless it was necessary to minister to someone who was deathly ill or injured, to keep that person from death, to ministering to such a person on the Lord's day or on the Sabbath day when their life was not endangered was to do work. And that made it an illegal thing to do. And so, oftentimes in Luke's gospel, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ healing the sick and casting out demons. And doing so, it is particularly pointed out on occasion after occasion. On what day? On the Sabbath day. For example, in Luke chapter 4, at verses 31 and 35, we read this. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. When did that casting out of the demon take place? Well, it took place on a Sabbath day. We read in verses 38 through 40 in Luke 4. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. And when the sun was setting, all who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on them, and he healed them. This also was on the Sabbath day. We read in Luke chapter 6, at verses 6 through 8. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees, now listen, doesn't this sound familiar? Watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. And what did Jesus do? Jesus healed the man. And we read that again and again and again. And we also read again and again and again that the reaction of the scribes and the Pharisees to the merciful healings of Jesus on the Sabbath, that it angered them. Because again, in their mind, Jesus had broken the fourth commandment. Now let me say this, that if Jesus had broken the fourth commandment, that he would have been unqualified to be the Savior of sinners. Because he would be a sinner like the rest of us. Jesus never, never, ever, in thought, in word, in deed, broke the fourth commandment. He upheld the fourth commandment and its importance to the covenant people of God. He never minimized it. He never set it aside. But he stripped away from it all the false teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees related to that day. Indeed, according to the fourth commandment, the Sabbath is a day of rest. But it is not a day of inactivity. It is a day to be spent, at least partly, in worship. And so as we have read through Luke's gospel, what did we read in relationship to the custom of Jesus Christ on the Sabbath? Where was he? He was in the synagogue. What was he doing there? He was worshiping. And so worship is a part of Sabbath activity. It is was that way then, and it should be that way now. The Sabbath is a day of rest and a day of worship. But it is also a day to show mercy. And that's what Jesus is teaching in relationship to what is taking place on this occasion in the Pharisees' home on the Sabbath day. He, seeing the man with dropsy, before he heals him, asked the scribes and the Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Or on the Sabbath? And you notice how they didn't respond? They kept silent. Why did they keep silent? Well, because Jesus had them on the horns of a dilemma. If they would have said, yes, it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, they would have been going against their own teaching of what you can and cannot do on that day. But if they said no, then other people would see and know them to be the cold, heartless, unmerciful people that they really were. And so, what could they say in response? They kept silent, but Jesus took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them. Now, isn't that interesting? Then he answered them. How could he answer them when he asked them a question and they didn't answer him back? They said nothing. Well, he could answer them because he knew what was in their hearts. And he asked them a question. Which of you having an ox, and in some translations, you might have which of you having a donkey, instead of donkey, you might have son. Which of you having a donkey or a son or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull them out on the Sabbath day? But what would the Pharisees do if one of their animals had fallen into a pit, let's say an open cistern, and that animal was about to drown? What would they do? They'd pull it out. They would deliver it from death. And they would do it without a second thought. And the implication of that question is this: why such mercy and compassion and kindness to an animal, but no mercy, no compassion, no kindness to one made in the image of God? Well, the Pharisees, again, couldn't answer anything regarding these things. They couldn't answer him in regards to what he had said, because, again, they were watching Jesus trying to trap him. Jesus was watching them. And he turned the tables on them, didn't he? And he trapped them. Couldn't say anything. You read oftentimes in the scripture that the wicked are caught in the pit that they themselves have made. And that's what happened here. Jesus had them, and they had nothing to say in response. Two, the Lord and his healing of that man on the Sabbath. J.C. Ryle said this: the Sabbath was made for man, for his benefit, not for his injury, for his advantage, not for his hurt. The interpretation of God's law respecting the Sabbath was never intended to be strained so far as to interfere with charity, kindness, and the real wants of human nature. John Calvin said, and I quote, "The Lord's purpose in healing the man with dropsy was not to abolish the Sabbath as if he were doing something previously unlawful on that day, but to correct Jewish legalism and to demonstrate what proper Sabbath observance involved. Sabbath rest is not an end in itself, but has been given for a purpose: mercy and kindness to the weak and needy." Today, Christians celebrate a day of rest and worship on the first day of the week, the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. The Sabbath is not a day to do what we want, but a day for doing what God wants and for doing what other people need. It is still a day. Though the day has changed, the fourth commandment is still binding. The Sabbath day is a day of rest. It is a day of worship. And it is a day to show mercy. Philip Rakin comments, Jesus calls us away from the selfish and legalism of our sinful hearts to follow Him in loving mercy and doing justice. The Lord's Day is for showing every compassion of Christ to every person in need, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Jesus, again, doesn't set the requirement of the fourth commandment aside. Jesus rather interprets it rightly. And it is permissible on the Christian Sabbath, or what we call the Lord's Day, to involve ourselves in works of mercy. Going to the hospital to visit those who are there. Going to the nursing home to visit the elderly who cannot get out. Going to those places to provide for them a human touch and a human voice, and to break the silence and to break their loneliness. It's a wonderful thing to do works of mercy on the Lord's Day. It's appropriate on the Lord's Day, as we pointed out in the past, to take meals to those who are struggling through some difficulty and to show kindness to them. There are a variety of ways that we can show compassion to others on the Lord's Day and not be breaking the fourth commandment that God has given to us. Why I read Deuteronomy 10, 11, and 12 today, that God has given to us for our what? So that we can all be bound up? No. He's given it to us for our good. It is a good thing to have a day of rest. It is a good thing to go to public worship. And it is a good thing on the Lord's Day to do works of mercy and to show compassion to others on that day. And you see, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are being conformed into somebody's image, aren't we? And whose image are we being conformed into? We are being conformed into the image of Christ. And as those who are being conformed into the image of Christ, what should be developing in us? A heart of compassion. A heart of compassion that grows. A heart of compassion that reaches out. A heart of compassion that actually demonstrates mercy and helps those who are weak and those who are needy. Jesus was one, not only on the Lord's Day, but on the other 6 days of the week as well, who, when he saw people in need, felt compassion for them. And being the Son of God, could do what was necessary to relieve them in their distress. I don't have the ability to provide food for multitudes from a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to walk into a hospital room, as much as I might like to, and heal the sick. That's beyond my pay grade. I can't do that. But I can do other things to show mercy to those who are in need. The mercy of Christ for that man. The mercy of Christ for Peter's mother. The mercy of Christ for the man with the withered hand. For the mercy of Christ toward those who were born blind. The mercy of Christ to those who were lame. Jesus was always demonstrating compassion and always showing mercy. And if we are being conformed into the image of Christ, then our hearts should be soft and tender toward those who are in need. Even to those who do not ask for our help. You notice that the man in that dropsy, he was the setup. He didn't ask Jesus to be healed, but Christ healed him. For some people that will never ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't give it. We should give it, whether it's asked for or not, because of the compassion of Christ that is working in and through us. I heard late last night, I don't know this person, I know who he is, and I know what he does for a living. His name is Todd Heap, and he played professional football for the Baltimore Ravens. He's a tight end. Something tragic happened to him this weekend. He was moving his truck and he ran over his 3-year-old daughter and she died. And you say, what do I care? I don't know Todd Heath. But is he an image bearer of God? He may not be a brother in Christ. I don't know what his spiritual condition is. But I do know this, that sometime today, I will pray for him and his wife. Why? Because we need to have compassion on those who are hurting, even those who do not know. And so we see time and time again, the compassion of Christ. And we see time and time again that acts of mercy are allowable even on the day of rest. Because acts of mercy glorify the one who had mercy upon us and sent his Son to die for us that we might be saved from our sins and have eternal life. God had mercy upon us. He looked upon us in our sinfulness. He had compassion on us. He sent his Son to save us from our sins. And such mercy and compassion we are undeserving of, but God did it anyway, without our asking for it. Did any of you ask for Jesus Christ to die on the cross that you might be saved from your sins? No, not a single one of you did. But God sent him for you to save you from your sin. And it was an act of love. It was an act of compassion. It was an act of mercy. And that mercy and that compassion and that kindness we are to demonstrate in our lives to the needy and to the hurting. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I would confess But sometimes when I hear about the difficulties that other people are facing or going through, but my heart isn't moved with compassion toward them. So that I don't think about them and I don't pray for them and do nothing if it is within my ability to help them. Father, please deliver us from being a cold-hearted, callous, and compassionless people. And help us, Father, to demonstrate the mercy and compassion of Christ. And help us to do so every day, that we might glorify you as the character of Christ as being worked out in us. Deliver us from being cold-hearted. Deliver us from being full of pride. Help us to be humble. And help us to be broken. And help us to be contrite, not only in relationship to our sins, but help us to be humble. And help us to be compassionate to those who are in need. Father, we pray this that we might honor and glorify your holy name. Amen.